Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Brother Jason asked if we got something good to say tonight. And I said, it's good because it's the Word of God. Amen. And we're going to try to get in the Bible here and maybe learn a few things and try to be an encouragement as well. And sometimes there's a lot of teaching involved on Wednesday nights. Sometimes it errs towards preaching a little bit. And so sometimes it's what I would call treaching, amen? And there's a little teaching, a little preaching there, try to exhort you a little bit here. And let's look here at Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and read a few verses here. The Bible says in verse number 9, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, hallowing wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye." Look at verse 11. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." I want to preach tonight or teach tonight and look at this thought here. And we're going to look starting in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. But I want to look tonight at the subject of under His wings. Under the wings of God. Now the Bible is a very interesting book. And when God begins to teach us something, many times the truth will be introduced to you and I with one of two words. And that word would be either like or as. Like or as. In the parables, the Lord Jesus Christ would often say that the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he would give an illustration. Sometimes he would say the kingdom of God is as. And the Lord Jesus Christ would teach things. And he would use an earthly illustration so that we can understand and the truth can be imparted to our hearts, to you and I, because we have to have something earthly, something physical, something fleshly many times so we can understand something. Now, you and I, our minds are finite minds. Sometimes they call us pea brain, amen? And just not very big, right? And so God has to teach us with an earthly illustration about Himself and about the kingdoms and about what God's doing here on earth as well as also in heaven. And the greatest teacher of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you not agree with me tonight that He is the master teacher? But He was also the master illustrator. For an example, He wanted to show us the heart of man. And He said to those disciples, He said, if you want to know the heart of man, He began to give them a parable. He began to teach them. And you know what He talked about? He talked about dirt. He talked about dirt. He said, the heart of man is like dirt. Sometimes the heart is like stony ground. Sometimes the heart is like a thorny ground. Sometimes the heart of man is like soft ground. Sometimes he talked about how the devil, as the fowls of the air, would come and steal the seed before it could take root. And so the Lord Jesus was constantly using various things to teach us the truth of the words of God. Another great illustrator in the Old Testament was the weeping prophet, the preacher, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, all the way through the book of Jeremiah, he would give wonderful illustrations of various things. He talked about the potter and the clay. And he would use those visual aids. He would take time and he would begin to illustrate through those visual aids. Many times, on one instance, he talked about how that you and I are like a girdle or a belt, and that's what man is like. And he talks about how that thing was buried and how it was dug up and how it was full of holes, how that it was rotten. And then the Lord said that that's the way His people are. He said, you're just like this girdle. Many of you are dirty, you are rotten, you are full of holes, you're falling apart. Basically, you're good for nothing. And so God had to take various things and He would teach us by using an illustration. One of the most interesting illustrations in the Bible is when God begins to give us illustrations concerning Himself. There's all kinds of illustrations in your Bible concerning God. Sometimes he would take things from his own creation. He would use various things like bread, a rock. Talking about himself, he said, I am the bread of life. He's the rock that on which we stand. And many times he would use various things like that and to teach about himself. Sometimes he would not just use creation, but he would use particular creatures in the Bible. And man, it just helps open up our understanding to who God is. God would take things from his animal kingdom. And for instance, look at back in the text here. Look at verse number 11. And again, we're going to teach on this tonight. Did you see what the first three words of verse number 11 were? As an eagle. Look at the first three words of verse number 12. So the Lord. So God's going to use these various things to show us something tonight about himself. He likens in the Word of God, when you read it, he likens himself to a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. John said there whenever the Lord Jesus came in John chapter number 1, he said, behold the what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You can go back in the Old Testament. And that there, the Lord was likened not only to a lion and a lamb, but there was a particular time when the Lord likened himself to a serpent on a pole, where they would have to look so they could live. If the serpents would bite them, look and live. We have a song in our songbook called that very thing. And so God shows that he likens himself to these various things. You read through the Bible, you get to Psalm chapter number 22. You know what God likened himself to in Psalm 22? A worm. He said, I'm a worm and no man. Talking about how he was on the cross of Calvary there. And there's a lot of various teachings that you could look at in that particular realm tonight. But God reminds us tonight that he is like certain things. He is as certain things tonight. Now, let me just say this tonight, that God is not in the animals. Sometimes there's some teaching out there that get into this Eastern mysticism, and people began to, like the natives would teach out, even in Asia, and all the Eastern religions, and that even on the reservations in America, with all the dream catchers and the shapeshifters and such like, you know, that's not what the Lord's talking about here. He's not saying that he is in those animals, but he does want us to see that his fingerprint is upon his creation. His fingerprint, his hand is in his creation, and they are in his creatures, on his creatures. And so God wants to use those things to illustrate to you and I that he is God, their creator, and that he is going to show us some things about himself using his creatures and his creation. He holds various things up for us to see. Sometimes it takes a little bit for us to get it. And that's why, by the way, that's why it's good to read. To learn things. To learn things about different things. Not just the Bible, but begin to read about certain things. Because God's on everything. His fingerprint, his footprint is on his creation and in his creatures. And when you begin to read things and you begin to liken it to the Word of God, or you see it as Jesus would teach it, then it begins to open up your mind to the character and the nature of God. Now, one of the most majestic creatures in your animal kingdom and in the Bible is the creature called an eagle. That's the text tonight in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. God's creation of the eagle. Now, I got to thinking about this today as I was preparing the message last Sunday morning. Brother Charles, my wife and I, my family, we were on our way to church just this last Sunday. We pulled out from our driveway, we went down to the end of the road, and we took a left, and then we took a right onto the main street before we got to 59. And right there in front of our van was a massive, majestic eagle flying right in front of us. And I hit the brakes, and I told my wife, she's sitting in the front seat, my kids, I said, there's an eagle! And she's like, you know, kind of skeptical, right? Because we don't see eagles all the time where we live. Sure enough, it was a bald eagle. And that thing in majestic beauty with a 7.5-foot wingspan flew up there and kind of lighted on top of a tall tree there. And we slowed down and we watched that eagle there. And you said, what did it do? It took our breath away. It was a majestic creature. It was an unbelievable experience as we watched the breathtaking creation of an eagle. So as we study this tonight, I want you to think about this thing of the eagle and this idea that we are under the wings of our Savior. That we are under the wings of God. That eagle is many things we could talk about tonight, even in our own nation, in the United States of America. That eagle, the bald eagle, is the representation of freedom. It's the representation tonight of the goodness of God upon our nation. When we see the stars and bars many times on top of that, we would see an eagle, right? As a representation of the goodness of God on this nation, as God took the United States of America and He enlarged Japheth for the propagation and the sending of the gospel around the world. So let's look tonight at three things I want you to see tonight concerning the idea of being under His wings. Number one, I want you to notice tonight what I call the load of His wings. Or you could say it this way, I was trying to figure out for alliteration, not just the load of His wings, but the lifting of His wings. They would both go together. Look at Exodus chapter number 19. The load or the lifting of the wings of our wonderful Savior. Exodus chapter number 19 tonight. In verse number 4, this is the Lord God talking about how that He came in and He used Moses and led the children of Israel, over 2 million Jews, out of the land of Egypt. And He gives the illustration here in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." And look at what He said. "And how I bare you on eagles' wings and brought you unto myself." I want you to see tonight the load or the lifting of His wings. There are certain types of eagles, they say. If you study eagles, you'll find out that eagles can carry up to 40 pounds in their talons. As they fly through the air, they can carry up to 40 pounds. An eagle can carry, that said, around 108% of their own body weight. Their wings are incredibly strong, spanning over 7.5 feet from one end to the other there. And God said to Israel here in the text in Exodus chapter number 19, He said, "I want you to check out my amazing lift capacity." And God reminds them that He snatched them up right out of Egypt. He said, He told the children of Israel, "You were way down in the muck and the mire of Egypt. You could not get out yourself. Your cries came into my ears." And God said, "As an eagle did, I swooped down right where you are and I lifted you right out of the land of Egypt." I'm talking tonight about the lifting capacity or the load that the wings of God can carry. Over 2 million Israelites, 2 million people were lifted right out of the land of Egypt. And God did it. If you study the time that God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, it was less than a month. Less than a month that the Lord came swooping in, seemingly, as some would say, out of nowhere. And the Bible says that He begins to bear them up. He totes them through the dry ground from the parted Red Sea, through the wilderness, through that barren wasteland, and eventually into the promised land. And the reason why we are here tonight, if you were to look at the illustration here that God said, not to forget what He did to the Egyptians, how He bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Himself, you and I would have to admit tonight that the reason why we are here tonight is because there was a good and a great God that came sweeping into your life. He began sweeping down into your home. He came, amen, to where you were in your life, and He bore you up under His wings. He carried you through the most impossible task. You say, what was the impossible task for you? He saved your never-dying soul. You could not save yourself. But He came to where you were, just like God did to the children of Israel, and He saved you, amen. And He got you through, if you look back in time, He got you through some trials of life. And now we sit here tonight, you are saved by the grace of God. If you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you are sealed, you are satisfied, you are serving, you are separated, you are safe under His what? His wings. And some of you were just a man sitting on a bar stool and the Lord came right down in that bar. Came and got you right there on a bar stool. Some of you sitting on a church pew. Some of you, amen, you sitting down at your house. Some of you were just a good old boy, working hard, providing for your family. Was mentioned tonight. I got to be careful because I know things live stream. And I don't want to hurt nobody, amen. But like the individual we prayed for tonight, just a good, solid, American, red-blooded man that took care of his family, but still is in need of a Savior. To come down, amen, and sweep into his life, bear him up from where he's at, amen, save his never-dying soul. Some of you may have been in a crack house. It don't matter where you were. You still had the same need.
Amen.
You needed the Lord to come and get you from where you were. It didn't matter how much weight you had on you. You study eagle's wings. They can pick up, like I said, 108% of their body weight, 40 pounds. The lifting capacity, the load that those wings have. It didn't matter how much baggage you had, how many burdens that you were bearing, the weight of your sin. It didn't bother God any. Amen. God didn't look down and say, that one's too big for me. That one's too heavy for me. That's too bad of a case for me. No, no, no. He looked down, went down to where you were, and God said, I'm going to come swooping into where they're at. Amen. Pick them up under my wings. That's the Lord tonight. Nobody's too heavy or too low for the Lord Jesus to come sweeping in. He can come right to where you're at tonight. If you call upon Him, amen, you're just one call away from Him coming and picking you up, grabbing you out, taking you to new heights. Can't help but think about what the Bible says over in the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter number 1. Talks about Ruth, how that she was just a half-breed Moabitess girl. That girl, listen, Ruth, in chapter number 1, she did not have a future. She did not have a family. Her husband is dead. Her father-in-law's dead. Her brother-in-law's dead. She is left there in the land of Moab, a lonely widow. She's living down in Moab, which the Bible says in the book of Psalms. He said, Moab is my washpot. It's the nasty scum of the earth. It's the people that was as a result of an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters, and she has no hope. She has no ability to go anywhere herself. She's stuck. She has no hope. And then in chapter number 1, as you journey through there, you read chapter 1, but by chapter number 4, we find out that that same girl, that she got out of Moab. She got in the family of Boaz, who is also in the family and lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what happened to her? She got found. She got fed. She got full. She gets in a family. She got freedom. And now she's got a future. You say, how in the world did all that happen in Ruth's life? I'm glad you asked. Look at Ruth chapter number 2. I'll show it to you. Ruth chapter number 2, you say, how in the world did she get from where she was to where she is? How did the Lord change the story? I'll show it to you tonight. Joshua judges Ruth. Just a little old book tucked in here, right here between, you know, these books here. Just a small little 4-chapter book, but it's loaded with the good grace of God. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10. Look at what Boaz said. The Bible says, then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground. You know, if you start doing that business and start picking up in your life, amen.
Yeah.
She said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She was from Moab. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knowest not heretofore. You say, what happened? Verse 12, the Bible says that Boaz said, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Notice the next wording here. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Do you know how that you went from, amen, way out there in Moab, Ruth? I'll tell you how you went from Moab to where you are tonight. It wasn't because you did it on your own, Ruth. And by the way, Ruth knew this. It wasn't because Ruth was a wonderful traveler. It wasn't because she had a GPS to get out of the land of Moab. It wasn't because she was a good planner or a good plotter or she was a good mapper of her life. No, no, no. Hey, listen, the Bible says that she was a nobody headed nowhere, but there was somebody, amen, the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God that came swooping down into her life, picked her up from Moab, put her in the family of God, amen. I'm saying tonight, that's a picture of you and I. That ought to help you tonight, encourage you for what the Lord's done in your life. And some of you tonight may have forgotten where God, where you were when God swooped down in your life. Amen. Now some of you might be sitting in Moab of Bethlehem, Judah way too long now. You need to go back down to, look at what the Bible says in the book of Ruth chapter number one. Ruth chapter number one. I mean, listen, amen. Sometimes when we get away, we just got to hear the good news from a far country. Look at what the Bible says, Ruth chapter 1, verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, talking about Naomi, that she might return from the country of Moab. Look at the next wording here. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Somebody came along there and started bragging about the bread. Somebody got to talking about that sweet bread down there at Bethlehem, Judah. Had they got to talking about that sufficient bread down there at Bethlehem, Judah. They got to talking about that saving bread down there in Bethlehem, Judah. You say, what kind of bread was it? It was showing up bread, amen. I'm telling you, amen. She got to smelling it again. And she said, you know what? This ain't to me. I think I'm going to go back to the house of God, the place of praise, the place where God visits his people in giving them bread. And listen, the whole story begins to change because she went from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. And some of us, amen, we got so used to sitting down at Bethlehem, Judah that we've forgotten where we were when Jesus came by in our land of Moab, amen, when he came swooping in our life and he bore us up, bore us out under his wings because he had the ability because of the load capacity of the wings of our Savior tonight. I'm trying not to preach, but I can't help it. Amen. Gets down in me, starts bubbling. Amen. 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 You know where you were when the Lord got you out. Amen. Lord swooped in and man, he picked us up and he pulled us out, put our feet upon a solid rock. He didn't just bear them up. The Bible says there he bore them out. And the reason why you can trust God today, you know why you can trust God today is because of where he brought you from yesterday. Amen. Sometimes we get to doubt him in the now and now. And you say, how do I get out of this doubt? Go look back and see what the Lord has done. Where he had brought you from, where you used to be. His wings won't fail you tonight. They've never failed anybody. Nobody's ever fallen out from under the Lord's wings. They didn't fail you when you needed to be saved. And they won't fail you tonight. Amen. They won't fail you tomorrow. They won't fail you in a month. They won't fail you in 5 years, 10 years. It'll be enough to get you from this day all the way home to glory. Why? Because his wings are their load-bearing wings. He can get you through. If God's put food on your table, God's put clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and a dollar in your pocket and a hedge about your family and sanity in your mind, salvation in your soul. You can mark it down tonight, church, that his wings are strong enough to bear you up and to get you out of where you're at tonight. Hey, he is the God. That's why David said in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. You can turn there if you want to, or I'll just read it to you. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I'm glad he's listening tonight. His ear is bent in our direction. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Doesn't that sound like Moab? Set my feet upon a solid what? Here it is again tonight. Here's a like and an as. He set my feet upon a solid rock. He's not just talking about a physical rock. He's talking about God, the rock. And established my goings. How did David get from the horrible pit, the miry clay, to the solid rock? He did not get there by pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. David didn't do that himself. He didn't get there by the power of positive thinking. He didn't get that way because he just said, I've made up my mind. This is what I'm going to do. No, no, no. David realized that when he was down in the miry clay, he was sinking down. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Amen. And the Lord said that he's going to swoop down there because his load lifting wings, and he picked up David and he pulled him out and put his feet upon a solid rock. I'm glad tonight the Lord has not changed. He said, I'm the Lord God. I change not. One old boy said one time, and you probably heard this before. Somebody said, if you're ever walking down in a pasture and you see a fence post, and you see a turtle on top of a fence post, he said, you ought to know tonight one thing. That turtle didn't get there by himself. Now, I don't know how he got there, but he didn't crawl up there, amen?
Right.
And you and I tonight, listen, we might not understand how we got to where we are tonight. And to be honest with you, I don't know how in the world I ended up from Oklahoma to Arkansas, to Bible college, to pastoring in New Mexico, and now I'm here in the bottom part of the state of Texas, right here in this place. I had no idea I was going to end up at the East River Baptist Church in New Caney, Texas, and I sure as well didn't believe that I would ever live in a town called Shepherd, amen. My wife even said, amen, she said, it'll be a cold day in the fiery furnaces down there before I ever live in this town. You know where we live? In that town. I don't know how we ended up where we ended up. I just know this. I didn't get here by myself. Tonight, you didn't get here by yourself. You and I got here because there's a good Heavenly Father that swept down where we were, picked us up, put us under His wings, and we're here tonight because of Him.
Amen.
We're here because of Him. God ain't never looked at anybody and said, you're too heavy. The weight of His wings are able to bear you up. Under His wings. There's the load or the lifting of His wings. And then number two, look at Proverbs chapter number 30. I want you to see the lesson or the learning from His wings. Proverbs chapter number 30, those wings of God, as He begins to teach us about Himself, they will teach you something. There's something you and I can learn tonight about the wonderful Heavenly Father that we serve. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 18. The Bible says this. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. Look at the first one on the list. The way of an eagle in the air. He said there's something that we can learn from an eagle. And he said, really, it's too wonderful for me. There's a wow factor when you look at an eagle. It happened Sunday morning when we were driving down the road. We see birds all the time. But when that eagle flew in front of our van, we put the brakes on and said, wow. And that's the way it is with the Lord. Sometimes with God, you just have to step back and say, wow. Wow. Man, what a lesson that He can teach us. The eagle is a picture tonight of the Lord God of heaven. One of the wows of an eagle's wings is how that an eagle can fly in a storm. When storms come blowing in, if you notice out in your yard, when a storm begins to blow in, those small birds begin to fly away. You can't hardly find a bird when the storms are blowing in. They're going the from the storm. But if you study eagles, the eagle is the only bird that does not fly away from the storm. An eagle flies right into a storm. You begin to study eagles, that eagle knows that if it flies into a storm, that there are swirling winds. There are thermals that are only there to be found in the storm that can take that eagle to heights that he's never been before.
It can rise up to greater heights and greater elevations. That it said that eagles are the only birds that can fly over 10,000 feet. There have been some studies that have said that they have spotted eagles flying at an altitude of 15,000 feet in the air. 15,000 feet. They have the ability. Whenever they stick their wings out, they lock their wings. They lock their wings and they sail into those storms and into those winds. It's almost as if that eagle says when he locks his wings, he said, I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable. He begins to fly into those storms. The eagle knows how to work the storm in his life. Doesn't fly away from the storm, but he says, hey, I'm going to fly into the storm, but I'm going to use that storm in my life for my own good, to get me to a place where I've never been before. The storm winds will destroy the other little birds if they were to stay there, but an eagle, he uses the storm. An eagle, if you study an eagle rides the storm until finally he rides the storm until eventually that eagle, as he locks his wings, steadfast, unmovable, and he begins to ride those thermos and those winds into that storm, he will pop out above the storm into the clear sky, way above the storm, at an altitude that he's never been before. You ever wonder why God allows storms into your life? You aren't going to get destroyed in the storm. First of all, because you're riding under His wings. You're not all alone. You're riding under someone's wings that's locked in. He's never lost anybody. He's going to take you to a place, amen, and those wings, they don't fail you. You're riding under the wings of one that's never gave up on you. He's not going to give in to the storm. He's going to take you and use the storm in your life. He didn't take you into the storm to dump you out and say, you're on your own now, boy. No. He's going to take you to the storm and he's going to rise up higher than you've ever gone before. He wants you to understand, amen, something about him. He brought you into the storm to take you to new heights. He wants to take you to a higher plane, to some different air. And the only way you can get to the clear air, the high air, and that air that you've never been to before is just hang on and stay under the steadfast, unmovable wings of God. Amen. Because we serve a God who sees what we don't tonight. Don't jump out from under His wings. Just hang on for the ride. Somebody said serving God's boring. You ain't never served Him.
That's right.
It's the most exciting, adventurous life. Amen. It's better than a roller coaster. Amen. Because God will take you on a roller coaster ride for His honor, for His glory. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes you're going to new heights. Sometimes it takes you low. But I tell you what He'll never do. He'll never leave you.
Amen.
And He'll never forsake you. He sees what we don't. Amen. You can see where He's taking you by just hanging on to the promises of God. If you'll stay under His wings, you can look back like Ruth did in her life and say, the Lord recompensed my work. And now I'm receiving a full reward, as Ruth would say, because I trusted in the Lord, I got under His wings. Got under the wings of our Savior. There's a little boy, about 3 years old, and his older brother is about 15. They was in a dollar store, and Mama bought him some glow sticks. He opened up them glow sticks and handed the glow stick to the little 3-year old. He was playing with that thing, but it wasn't glowing. And so the 15-year old reached down there and snatched that glow stick out of that little boy's hand. The little boy started screaming and hollering. He said, hey, hold on, I'm trying to help you. He was screaming and hollering. Little brother finally got ignored by big brother. He took that glow stick and he cracked it. You ever used glow sticks before? You got to crack them things. He cracked that thing and handed it back to his 3-year-old little brother. And they went outside and it was dark after the sun went down. And that glow stick was glowing there in the dark and it was so bright and so beautiful. I got to thinking, you know, sometimes the Lord's got to do that with you and I. You and I, we hold on to something that we enjoy. It's ours. Like the 3-year-old, you know. This is mine. This is what I want, and as long as I have it, I'm okay. And the Lord says, hold on. And from our life, and He breaks it. We don't understand why He took it, because it was ours and we were comfortable with it, but He takes it and He breaks it. Then He gives it back to us so that we can go outside in a dark world and we can see the glow that we never saw before. And you and I tonight, amen, thank God when the Lord takes us and He breaks our life. He puts us in a position where He can get light out of you and I. He takes us and He breaks us so we can shine for the glory of God. You study those eagles, as the one did on Sunday morning. It did not light on the ground. It did not light on a small fence post. That eagle, when we saw it light, it lighted on the biggest tree that was in the area. It was at the top of that tree. And you wonder why they get up so high, but they get up so high in the top of trees because eagles, they can see. You ever heard somebody say that, you know, that person's got an eagle eye? Man, they can really see real well. They can see far. You study eagles, you can find that eagles can see a rabbit running over 3 miles away. 3 miles away from the top of a tree, they can see. And tonight, did you know we have a Heavenly Father who can see? You ever wondered if God even sees you? Sees what we're going through, sees where we're at, sees how we hurt, sees how we're lonely, sees all the problems, sees what people are doing, sees what people are saying. You wonder, Lord, do you even see this? I see it, Lord, but it just seems like you don't see anything. And we often quote Hebrews 4:12, where the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." It's a great verse concerning the Word of God. But have you ever read verse 13? Let me read it to you tonight. Hebrews 4:13 says this, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Sometimes we get to thinking that God cannot see it, but tonight we have a God that can see. He sees where you're at. He sees your hurt, sees your heartache, sees your disappointment, sees the hurt that others do to you. He sees and hears the conversations, and God is taking note of it all because He's up there and we're under His wings, and He's a seer. His eyes are running to and fro throughout all the earth, beholding the evil and the good. So we see tonight the learning or the lessons of His wings. And then lastly, I'm done tonight. I want you to notice the love or the long-suffering of the wings of God. The love of His wings. The wings of the Lord remind us in life that God is a God of love. You study eagles. Eagles are what we would call tonight monogamous. You know what that word means? The word monogamous means that once an eagle finds, for lack of a better word tonight and for the illustration, once an eagle finds its love, it never leaves it. Amen. It never leaves it. Listen, an eagle, when they find each other, they are with them until the end. That eagle, listen, they don't leave them through the storms. They don't leave their love through the dark days, through the cold. They are with them until the very end. You know, tonight I have not always been faithful to the Lord. There's been many times in my life where I have failed Him. I've disappointed Him. I have quenched Him. I have grieved Him. And I don't want to, but I just have many, many times in my life because that's who we are. We fall, the just man falls 7 times, he rises up again. But can I say tonight that the Lord God of heaven has never, never, never failed me? Amen. He has never left me, let me down. He has never left me. You say, why? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you study eagles, they go through a season called a season of molting, or a molting season. It's a time where their vision dims, their feathers begin to fall out, and they cannot fly. Basically, their life is relegated to the life of a turkey. You, as you know, an eagle and a turkey don't even go together, right? They can't soar way up in the heights where they used to go. It's a season of life that many times happens to older eagles, seasoned, mature eagles. It's a season that is not meant to kill the eagle, even though sometimes through the molting season of an eagle, sometimes they do die. They do lose their life. The season is meant for them to grow. They begin at that season, that molting, they grow new feathers. They begin to grow new vision, and they begin to grow new beaks. Those eagles, many times, they said, will get down in a valley, and they will start this molting process until literally the eagle wants to die. It's not even acting like an eagle anymore. They said that those eagles, as they're molting, and they're sick almost, and their feathers are falling out, they can't fly anymore. They said they would find a sharp rock, and many times they would take their beaks and hit their beaks up against that sharp rock until it's literally busting their beaks out, and becomes, it's a very disgusting and a very depressing process to watch. The eagles, they won't eat. They just walk around in the valley, and basically they're just saying, I just want to die. Very, very depressing thing to watch. They said that there have been bird watchers that say that they have watched those molting eagles down in the valley, and many of them literally on the brink of death, down there, feathers falling out, can't fly, like basically a sick eagle that's almost like a turkey. And as they're watching these molting eagles, that they would see another eagle. The love of their life would fly over to hear them, and I can't sound like an eagle, but you understand the illustration. And they begin to hear the screams of the eagle, and that molting eagle would look up, and the love relationship that they had found with that eagle that is molting, that eagle starts to soar over above that other eagle and begins to, it said that they've watched them drop bits of food as they swoop down to where that molting eagle is, and they would fly around, and they would screech, and they would go get food and take food and swoop down and drop the food down to that eagle that's there in the molting process way down in the valley. The love eagle, amen, the love of that eagle is like no other love. It's an inseparable love. That eagle, they said that they could hear the screams from above. You say, what's that eagle saying as it's down to that other eagle that's molting there? I don't speak eagle, you don't speak eagle, but the experts say that they're relaying a message to that molting eagle as they begin to scream, begin to fly down and swoop down and communicate with that eagle that's there in that molting process. And they're saying something like this. They're saying, eat something. Eat something. Somebody said they're saying something like this. I love you. We're still up here flying. You can make it through this. Listen, we still here for you, amen. Just go on another day. We're going to be here when you get through this trial. When you get back up, amen. We ain't left you. We're not forsaking you. We are here until the end. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to go find another eagle. Amen. We are here with you all the way. No wonder the prophet Isaiah in the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord Lord shall do what? Renew their strength like a molting eagle. They shall mount up with wings as what? Eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So tonight, maybe some of you in here tonight, you're down in the valley molting spiritually. Feel all alone. Don't feel like eating spiritually. Can't fly anymore. Hadn't been up in the heights in so long. It seems maybe tonight that the Lord might remind you, if you'll listen closely, you can hear the screams of our loving Savior tonight. Can you hear the one who gave Himself on Calvary for you saying, like those eagles were saying, I love you. I love you. I'm here for you. I didn't save you for you to die. I did not bear you up out of Egypt for you to stay here in this place of molting, in this place of depression. I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly tonight. So the Lord says to you and I, get up. Get under His wings. And stay under His wings. There's no greater place on earth to be and to live our life under the wings of a merciful and a loving Savior. So don't get out from under it and try to figure it out yourself. It's the greatest place you can be tonight is under the wings of our wonderful Lord and Savior, our wonderful and great God. I hope tonight the truth of the teaching and the preaching has been a help and a blessing to you. Let's pray and I'll let Pastor come. Father, we love you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you taught us through the words of God as the illustrations of like and as, that we can get up under the wings of our Savior. And Lord, you'll get us through this old low land of sorrow. No matter what comes our way, Father, we don't have to go through it alone. Father, you're more than capable, you're more than able, Lord, to get us through. And I pray for those in here tonight that's going through heartache and sickness, trials and tribulations. Father, maybe they have prodigal children and that's weighing on them tonight. Health problems. Lord, the loss of a spouse. Wayward children. Lord, whatever it might be tonight, maybe a spiritual problem. Financial problem. Lord, I pray God tonight, no matter what we're going through, help us to get under your wings tonight. For Lord, that's the place where we can find help. Lord, the Lord recompense our work and a full reward be given to those of us. Lord, get under your wings and put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, I love you tonight. Help us to love you more. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.